So, Latin phrase, which means without which not, is the literal translation. It actually means an indispensable or essential condition. It comes from a 1986 U.S. Supreme Court decision. We don't get many Supreme Court decisions in the gift tax area, gift giving area, but it's from a U.S. Court case against the American Bar Endowment from back in 1986. Citation is 477 U.S. 105, if you want to look it up. So the basic elements of a charitable contribution consists of a competent donor. That's number one. There's five elements to this. Number two, a qualified donee. That's a 501c3 public charity, like a college or university, or a governmental entity, college or university that operates under a state regime. Third, you must have donative intent by the donor. Donor has to intend and wish to make a charitable contribution. And the fourth element is the delivery of that contribution, the actual transfer of title ownership, as well as possession to the qualified donee. And then finally, acceptance of the gift with potentially any donor conditions or terms by the qualified donee. So I highlight the acceptance of the gift as a critical element because sometimes you have to try to convince development officers and others that the word no is in your vocabulary. If it's a gift that presents too much terms, conditions, restrictions by a donor, that's certainly part of your that should be part of your consideration as to whether to accept it or not. So with that sort of basic level set, any other comment, Joe, that you want to add to that?
I think that's important. As you said, the development officers are salespeople and they want to bring in gifts and they get graded on how much they can bring in. And the finance and accounting people have to be the policemen to say, hey, wait a minute, is this in the best interest of the university? And as Sean pointed out in the slide says, it's made out of disinterested generosity. And as we go through some of the cases today that we have in the slides, you'll see a number of situations where donors have tried and alleged that rather than a gift agreement, they have a contract. And so we're going to discuss that as we go through some of the cases. And I think there's ways you can structure your gift agreements to hopefully avoid courts construing those as actual contracts versus gift agreements. We'll talk about the difference as we go through the cases today.
Yeah.
So.
And the basic, you know, contract principles would be that a contract is supported by consideration.
Right.
Gift agreements and charitable contributions traditionally, I mean, to qualify for federal tax deduction, must be without consideration or what the law defines as consideration. But I have found in doing a lot of research in this area that the general trend is to apply what's called the modern contract theory. So the idea being if a donor puts conditions and restrictions on a gift, and then the university accepts the gift with those conditions and begins to perform, either do whatever the condition is, that that's enough and is considered consideration in the modern era. So with that in mind, let's move on to our next topic, which is an important one. It's really gift acceptance policies, and they're critical for institutions. The GAAP policies basically set the rules of the road for what donors and development staff expect. It avoids having conflicts and making decisions on an ad hoc basis. Included in your materials, you will find our gift acceptance policy here at Vanderbilt. We created one in 2009, modified it in 2011, and then again in 2017. And right now it's under some extensive revision. Our gift acceptance committee is comprised of four people: our provost, our CFO, and our vice chancellor for administration, which is basically university operations, and our vice chancellor for DAR. DAR is our development and relations office. It's not the Daughters of the American Revolution, as some people have mistakenly thought. In our GAAP policy, we have hardwired in that the committee would consult with my office, the OGC, for further guidance, consideration. And that's really how we get involved in consideration of gifts that are being presented to us. But those gift acceptance policies are so critically important because, as I say, they set the rules of the road for gifts. There's a lot of information that can and should be included in those gift policies. A few of those items are right there on the slide. You know, what the confidentiality obligations would be, other topics that are included in GAAP policies include things like, you know, who's responsible for valuations or appraisals, legal fees and professional fees. For the longest time here at Vanderbilt, we did not have that provision in our policy. And as it turned out, whoever screamed the loudest in terms of a donor making a gift,